Well, this morning we're going to talk about change being in the air. Yep, time change. Yep, season change is coming upon us. And change for our own fellowship. We're going through change. And we want to be upfront and addressing this. So we're going to be taking this up this morning. And what do we do? What do we do? What are we to do as we go through the winds of change? You know, interestingly, in Colossians chapter 2, which I ask you to turn there this morning, God clearly and definitively speaks about going through change. So I'm going to ask you to turn there to Colossians chapter 2. As you're turning there, I want to emphasize that there is a constant, and change in this world is a constant. Now, there are other constants beside change, but as this person pinned it up there with some pins, the only constant in life is change. And I wouldn't agree it's the only constant. There are another, well, there is at least one other that we're going to talk about. But that is a thing that you and I all surely recognize. God is gracious to us in this world that is constantly changing. Constantly changing. Not to have it all change at once. Isn't that good? I mean, otherwise, we would be overwhelmed with everything being totally changed. There are some things that he holds, well, to change less gradually, but they all do change. Everything changes. Everything here in this creation changes. As a matter of fact, I'd like you to look at this scripture, God's intent for change. In this scripture, which is recorded in both the New Testament and the Old Testament, the Bible says this: "You, Lord, laid the foundations of the earth in the beginning." You know, he sank the basalts and built up the foundation on the rocks. "And the heavens are the works of your hands." Now, notice where this goes in both the New Testament and the Old Testament. They will perish. They will come to the point where they are ruined. They have fulfilled their purpose. They have been used. They perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. The heavens, the earth, it will wear out like your clothes do. All wear out. The totality of change of everything we know in creation, heaven on an earth. Like a robe, they will roll up. You will roll them up. You know, this past week, well, not this past week, it was Saturday before last. Do you notice how windy it was? Windy. My wife said on Friday, "You know, it's going to be windy tomorrow. You may want to burn the trash," which I burn on every Saturday. "You may want to burn it today." Well, I didn't get around to burning it. And I was outside and I was watching the wind. I said, "Yeah, I think I can do it." So I went ahead and lit it and stood there and watched. And we had this fence row that was probably 10, 15, 20 feet away from where the fire was. And yep, the wind blew it over and it caught that dried grass on that 70 degree weather on fire, and it was burning. And I had this coat on, coat that I pretty well liked. It was getting old, been torn, tattered, and was wearing out indeed. But when I was standing there and trying to stomp out this fence row on fire with the grass, I decided I needed a little extra whomping power. So I pulled off the jacket, coat, winter coat, start slapping it. And this was made of a vinyl. And it, you know what happened, exposed to, yeah, well, you know what I did with that coat immediately after that? I did this. I rolled it up and I threw it in the trash because it was done. It was done like a garment. They will be changed. Everything, all of it wears out. All of it will be changed. All of it. Change. God intended in our current state. They will be changed, but you're the same. And he goes and talks on about God being the same. There's a constant. Change is a constant for us in this creation. God is a constant for us in this creation. With everything and anything that changes, that's the case for us. And you, Lord, did this. You are doing this. Now, those are the passages that I just quoted, Hebrews 10, 1, 10 through 12, and it's a quote of Psalm 102, verses 25 through 7 to 27. But that's not the only thing that the Bible has to say about change. For example, let me put this up here. Change. We all, with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed. We are being changed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord. This is God's intent. Physical change happens. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says to us that our outer man physically is wasting away. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed any change since the last 10 years? 15 years? How about 20 years? How about, yeah, okay. Change is happening. Yes, I did, by the way. Yes, thank you. I'm glad you clarified that. I did get it out. As a matter of fact, I got a little patch at the end of that row that still has some grass in it, and it looks horrible now because the rest is all cleaned up. Change happens to us physically. Changes happen as God intends to happen to us internally. That 2 Corinthians 4 that tells us our outer man is wasting away, it says our inner man is what? Being renewed. How? Day by day. Day by day. Change is what God intends for us. He's built it into the heavens and the earth in its fallen state. He has intended it for us in our inner person, even as our outer person goes through change, which it does. And let me add this passage as well. All are being changed. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That transformed refers to being changed in form. This is inner man, in your mind, that you may, by testing, discern what the will of God is, what is good, acceptable, completed will of God. My point in all of this is to say, God intends change. It happens in a fallen world. He intends it to take place on us internally, or in us internally as well. We have a constant. They will perish, you will remain. They all wear out like a garment, like a robe. You roll them up. You roll them up. Like a garment, they'll be changed, but you are the same, and your years have no end. God is our constant. Now, having said that, let me say this, that if you are one of those who is stubborn relative to change, if you are one of those who kicks against change, then you, like Jacob, are contending with God. And what are you contending for? For a blessing? For a happiness that he gives? Well, Jacob did that. He contended with God. He went after a blessing that he wanted in contending with God. And you remember how that marked his life. For the rest of his life, he limped with a hip out of joint. When we do not move through change as God intends, we contend with God. And be careful, because you may limp the rest of your life through life. As a reminder of contending with God relative to change. Now, this morning, we are going to begin a mini-series to help move through change. God is a constant. His word is a constant. He says this, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in heaven." Psalm 119. His word is a constant, and it is from his word that we are going to obtain encouragement and help for moving through change. Moving forward through change, God's way. That's what this mini-series is about. And that's why I've asked you to turn to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6 here in Colossians chapter 2. Notice with me Colossians chapter 2, where the Lord says this concerning giving us provision. Direction, specific and clear direction for moving through change. Verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Having been rooted and being built up in him, and being established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding, overflowing in thanksgiving. Now, I've read that by emphasizing for our English translations the way that the action words are spoken here. In the original language, I read that emphasizing the action words, because there are action words that God gives us here in this passage for moving through change. That's what the Apostle Paul is doing, and it's all built on this. So walk in him. Moving forward through change, God's way is the call. It is a directive call from God to walk in him. We're going to be looking at this. Moving forward has this past for you. There is a past that is very relevant to change, to you going through change, to me going through change, to us living in change. You know, even the world recognizes that things change. I remember reading a statement by a prominent individual who said, you can't put your foot into the same river twice. Why? Because it's always moving. It's always changing. It's always going somewhere. And even the banks change and the mountains change and the landscape change. It's all going to change. But for us, inwardly, in the spirit where he wants to grow us, moving forward through change has a past for us that we're going to see in this passage. God's bringing change has a past, and moving forward has this present with a future for us that is clearly designated. Now, I'm going to build this framework a little bit more, because the framework that he uses in his passage is not complex. It's only one sentence that takes up two verses in our English Bible. But I want you to get the framework. First of all, there has been change. That's what the Apostle Paul brings home to us. There has been change. And then, secondly, he brings out this. There is this direction for God for present change. There is this direction from God for present change. Now, the situation and the setting for those who were in Colossae and Laodicea, which we'll note here in a minute, was a bit different than it is for us. Nevertheless, there was impending change that they needed to handle. For us, there is impending change. So we're going to take a look at this, and then we're going to see the applications that this moving through change has for us as we're going at it God's way. There is change. There is change in the air. It will be a change that affects us, each and every one. So, moving through it God's way in the inner man, there has been change. What? What? I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul does. He says in verse 6 of chapter 2, therefore. Therefore. What in your past, in my past, speaks of God's provision for moving through change? It's this word, therefore. Therefore. Verse 6. Now, the idea, the point that he's making is well summarized in this by the word therefore. By the way, this is a very short word in the Greek New Testament. It's a very short word. It's only three letters long. And basically the idea that's conveyed there is these things being so. What? What things being so? That there has been change in the past. Change in the past that God speaks about the provision he has made concerning moving through change. When the word, the preachers of bygone days, maybe you've heard this, used to say, when you see the word therefore, can you finish this? When you see the word therefore in the scriptures, you need to see what it's. Yeah, that's the idea of these things being so. Because this is the case. Therefore this. And what he's talking about as being there was that there has been change in your past, as he looks at bringing change into their present and into their future. What kind of change? What change? That's what we're talking about. What change? Here, this change. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to zero in on verse 13, where he begins to talk to us about this change. Verse 13 of chapter 1, he says this. He, and he looks and he's speaking about verse 12, God the Father, he has, that's a past tense verb, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us. That means he's made a change. He's taken you from a domain of darkness and he's changed us to be now in the kingdom of his beloved Son. That is part, as a matter of fact, that is the prominent part of the change in the past that has taken place. You once were in the kingdom of darkness, the domain of darkness. You know, in the New Testament, it talks about that he who walks in darkness does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. That's being in the domain of darkness. That's 1 John chapter 2, verse 11. In the domain of darkness, you don't know where you're headed because the darkness has blinded your eyes. You and I know that experientially. Sometimes in the morning when I get up pretty early and I go through the house because others are sleeping and turning the lights on, I go through it in the dark. Now, I've done this enough that I know where I'm headed, but time after time, someone will have left something in the hallway, or I will take a step thinking I'm on the landing, but I'm still on the step. You ever had some experience like that? That is because we are moving through the darkness. And even though I've gone this path many times, there's still things in it. Now, on a broader scale, those who are in the total domain of darkness have so blinded their minds that even though they're moving through life and they're going somewhere, they do not know where they're going. The darkness has blinded their eyes. That's what we once were. And God wrought a change in our lives. And that change is a change that rescued us. It delivered us. It took us out. It delivered us. It rescued us. It saved us from being under the dominion of darkness into a kingdom, a ruling going on by God's dear beloved Son. That is a change. That is a change that God has wrought. As a matter of fact, if that change hasn't happened, Jesus said, you won't see, nor will you enter the kingdom of heaven. That change has had to happen. If anyone be in Christ, he is what? A new creation, a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have become. And no matter what age a person is when they're rescued, they're saved, they're delivered. That's the word that's used here. When they're delivered from that domain of darkness where their eyes are blind and they don't know where they're going as they're going, whatever age they're in, there is change. I've had kids very small come to know Christ. And when they came to know Christ, there was change. A change was manifest. I've had kids who were much older, who had heard about Christ, even gave lip service to him, but were not delivered from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. They weren't saved yet. But when they're saved, there's change. I'm at work. I get a call. One of my kids, Dad, I've just been saved. Do you know where I was going? And that after having given lip service to Christ. And there was change, ongoing change. No matter what age, there's change. Sometimes stark and dramatic, sometimes more gradual, but still very noticeable, a change. There has been change in our past. For everyone in Christ. And you know that change. You'll be able to recognize it in your mind. The change. If you were younger, the change was something you grew up more into, but there was still change. Dramatic change. And this change, notice with me, verse 5, happened this way. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before, verse 5, in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed the whole world, it's bearing fruit and increasing as it does among you since the day you heard of it and you understood the grace of God in truth. You learned it from Epaphras, he says. He taught you this. And therein was the change that came in their life. It was a change that was manifest then in the way they went about life. Look at verse number 10. So to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. There is this change in life that Paul was praying for there. It's the manifestation. There has been change for everyone who is in Christ. There has been. This matter of a life having change is something we've been before. Now, I want to add this. How? How? How has this happened? Paul talks about that. There has been change in your life. It was a change when you were transferred. How did it happen? How does God's provision for change happen? And that's the next word. Therefore, as you have received Christ, inasmuch as this being the case, as you have received Christ, Jesus, the Lord. It's happened as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul is telling them this as we go into chapter 2 for the purpose of encouraging them and knitting their hearts together for the present change that they are going to be facing. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle There is an anguish in this struggle that I'm going through that I have for those who are at Laodicea and for all who have not seen my face, for you, those in Laodicea. The Laodicea was a church, a city which had a church that was very close to Colossae. As a matter of fact, Epaphras, who is the one who was from Colossae, who taught them about this salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, a free gift that changed them. This Epaphras is here presenting this. He's a Colossian. And when Paul, who gives him this letter and he carries it back, says, I want this done in Laodicea as well. Chapter 4, verse 16 talks about Laodicea reading this same letter for the change that's coming. For this purpose, verse 2, that your hearts, their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. Christ in you, he says. That is the hope of glory. He says that in chapter 1 at verse number 27. This is the mystery. Now, as you have received Christ, how has this changed happened? You've received Christ. To receive Christ, well, just like you receive anything, you take it to yourself. If you receive a gift on Christmas morning, you take it to yourself. You open it, you keep it. That's kind of how it goes. We receive Christ Jesus, the Lord. We take him to ourselves. And when Jesus talked about how this receiving takes place, he took a child and he set him in the midst. Here were his disciples, and they had some grandiose ideas about themselves. And Jesus set the child in their midst, and he said, unless you become like one of these, unless you become like one of these. I'm going to read it specifically as he said it. Truly I say to you, unless you are turned and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, one of these, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. How do we receive Christ? How does God make a provision for us? It's in receiving Christ. It's taking Christ to ourselves. How do we receive him? We receive him like a child. A child who trusts their parent, what they say. You know, I had kids who had dispositions that were different on this. One of my kids, I would tell them what to say, and it was like, oh, yeah, well, maybe. I don't know if you know for sure or not. And I had another kid who think, I'm just as smart. But I had this one child who I would tell him something like, stand here by the car and keep your hand on the handle until I come back. And some would do it for a while, but this child stood there and held the handle, and I went off and did the thing and came back. And they were still there holding the handle. Now, I did that because we're in a traffic situation, and I wanted to make sure he held right there close to the car while I did this and came back. This is like the child. Now, even those other kids, when we got in situations, trusted me over someone else. Going into a new church assembly, one of these would say, I don't have to listen to you. You're not my mom. You're not my dad. I don't have to. Because of trusting. Trusting. Jesus' point is if we receive Christ, it has to be like one of these. It has to be, or you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. We have to trust him for the changes. Changes like we've had in the past. And changes for the future. You know, interestingly, this trusting like a child leads to being born of God, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, not naturally, but being born of God. This change has taken place in our life so that we have taken to ourselves Jesus Christ, who now is the Lord to us. We've taken to ourselves Jesus Christ, who now is the one in charge. He calls the shots. He gives the direction. This has been the change. Moving forward into present change, whatever it is, has this past that God has wrought in us. We have this now. Moving forward into the present change that has a future for you, the Apostle Paul going from that, wanting to encourage hearts in preparation for changes that were come, lays out to them, there is this specific and clear direction from God for present day change. Whatever change that is, change with God has a past. You're always going to be going through change. And this present change has a very clear direction. And what the Apostle Paul does here is he gives us four different statements that are imperative. What's an imperative? It's a direction that God gives. It's kind of like not a suggestion. It's kind of like here's the direction to go for handling change. Now, why does God do this? Because he's kind of self-inflated and has a big ego, and he thinks that he ought to be the one in charge. And if you try to object to that, why does God do this? Pardon me? For our benefit. All of these directions and commands of God are for our good, and they're registered this way so that they register this way. That these are imperative. These are necessary for present day change. Now, because we are stubborn like we are, we don't like to be told, finish that. We don't like to be told what to do. And you know, that starts out when we are, yeah. Don't tell me what to do. Now, who does God think he is to tell us what to do? He has no trouble with that. God has no trouble with that. He's got no trouble with being God because he is God. And we need him to be God. And he needs to tell us imperatively, this is what we should do. For the present change with the issues the Laodiceans and the Colossians had, and all those who were at Hierapolis, which is what they were. As for us, in Hartford City, with all the issues we have, we need his imperatival direction. And he gives it clear, specific, direct, and very helpful. And remember the aim in this, that your hearts may be encouraged. That's what he says. He says that hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and knowledge of God's mystery in Christ. Change. Whatever it is, what it was for them at Colossae, what it is for us, it's this. What? So walk in him. Based on that past change that you've had, being delivered from the domain of darkness to the domain, to the rule of God's dear Son, through the gospel, the word of truth that is bringing change in your walk through life. In as much as that is there, because that is so, walk in him. As you've received him, walk in him. How did you receive him? You received him like a child who trusted what his daddy said, holding on there. That's how you received him. And as a result, you were born of God. And being born of God, now we walk that way in him. We walk just that way in him. How do you walk in him? Now, the word walk is clear. We know what that is, and it's a very good picture. You moment by moment move forward, step by step with what happens. That's the walk. And for the Hebrews, that idea of tromping, and the word idea is to tromp around. You tromp around is a picture of progressing through life, going somewhere forward, moving through life. You walk how? In him. How? Just like you received him, so you walk in him. That's what he says. And this takes place being or having been rooted in him. Now, this verb tense is very important. I'm going to do this not so I seem smart, but because it's so very important here, and I'm not smart because somebody told me, so I'm telling you. This verb tense is what's called a perfect, meaning there is a present result from a past action. Past action, you have received Christ. Present result, rooted in him, is what that brought. Past action, present result. If somebody comes up here and smacks me in my nose, I guarantee that my nose will bleed, because that happens pretty readily, especially this time of year. And the present result will be bleeding from the past action of having taken a shot in the nose. Present result is that we are rooted. We have deep-seated, fixed firmness by a past action of having received Christ. So walking in him is this having been rooted in him. Fixed, firm. You know, when I was reading this, I thought of something from the science class. Do you know that mushrooms have roots? Did you know that? They have a really unique root. Let me see if I can pronounce this here. It's a hyphae, which is a kind of like a long hair-like thing. And do you know that those roots can go out to 30 acres? And there's a whole bunch of this mushroom activity from these hair or hyphae's that are all over the place, and it takes place underground. These roots do this stuff. And then it's all right here documented. You can see the pictures of it. It's really fascinating. And then this thing, well, this root does this. Now, being built up, this root pulls in nutrients so that one layer upon another layer upon another layer upon another builds up in this mushroom until finally, about this time of year, we start to see some of it poke above the ground. Have you ever wondered that? I've always wondered about that. Are these things spores that just come out of the air? What do they do? How do they get there? I've got them all over the place in my yard. Of course, some of these mushrooms called toadstools by us are not edible, but they're all over. And sometimes, man, those dudes are tough, especially at the bottom of this stump I have there. That's, I can't hardly get rid of them the way they, and they're tough, man. It's not like, this is a tender commercial mushroom. That, no, it's like, oh, I'm staying here. And this thing grows up all of the sudden. And there it is. And what's happened is that now this thing, having been rooted, is being built up. It's being built up. And this is what he tells us is God's present provision for how we move through change. Walking in Christ, rooted like that, deep and widespread root, it's being built up. It's going up stage by stage, and it's being then further established, he says, in the faith. Being established in the faith and overflowing with thanksgiving. Now, all of these, receiving Christ Jesus is an act that God does. You have to respond and take him to yourself, but he's the one that causes you to be born again. By his doing, Corinthians tells us, are you in Christ, who's become to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. This receiving is a thing from our past to move us through change and being built up. God does, and being established. Present day actions going on are things that God does. But here's what we do. This is how to move through change. The Corinthians, overflowing with thanksgiving. Overflowing through thanksgiving. Giving. The Bible is pretty clear to us that we have change to move through. This verb which is also imperative, is the basis for the other four actions that come into place. The determination is that I will walk with a childlike faith in my Father. I will walk forward, having been rooted by my Father in Him, in Christ, and now being built up in Christ, better established and overflowing. The last one is the one that we do. You know, I've been interacting this week about the change. Changes that we're going to be going through have given out, offer to you to give out. That the Heartland Fellowship is going to be moving into a larger community for the purpose of bringing community to our fellowship, for the purpose of aiding another church. And I have had interactions from that, responses, challenges, questions, which is good. And I'm grateful for those, exactly what we should be doing. Exactly. And as we move through this, the opportunity of Lighthouse has been set before you. It will be a change. It will be a change. It will be a change in the sense of the number of folks who are there. It will be a change in regards to the approach to ministry. The Sunday morning isn't so geared to Bible teaching as to reaching out. The pastor there has been given a gift of evangelism, and he reaches out with but there's other services that are available that provide for the rooting, the grounding, the building up. And these are available, but it's change. And how shall we move through change? Everyone has their own choice to make what they will do. We've always had that choice. God gives us that choice. But how we will move through change, God's way, is as have you received Christ as you have been taught in Him. Like this passage says, you take the steps to move forward in your walk. You take the steps overflowing with thanksgiving. Can I share this with you to my joy and to, well, I think your sense of encouragement is that as I've shared this, it's been hard, but there's been encouragement from people. Folks intentionally taking it on themselves to overflow with thanksgiving for what has been the past. Some folks said, even in this room, it's been a great ride. That's an encouragement. Some folks said, yes, of the places in town, that would be where we would go. Overflowing with thanksgiving. This is how we do this. In the next several weeks, we'll be interacting, preparing for the change, because on April, April the 3rd will be the last assembly we have in this building and Heartland regularly scheduled service. We will do some in town that it's an opportunity that I'll make known to you as we're going through this. And then on April 10th, we will, on Palm Sunday, for those who so choose, join Lighthouse. They're going to have a drama, not in our, but they have a drama, and that'll be the first day we're there for Palm Sunday. And we go from there. Questions, comments? Good. I need to end. I'm available to talk. These are available to you, and if I don't stop right now, we're not going to sing because Karen won't let us.